Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you again here in your studio.
Yes.
Talking about these great passages.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, I know last time we had finished chapter 2, where we had seen the admonition to not follow into the false doctrines of the Stoicheia.
Yeah. Man-made religion.
Yeah. Do not taste, do not handle, do not touch, or do not taste, do not...
Yep. Self-imposed piety.
Right, right. And we saw the falsehood of it. Now we go into some positive admonitions, what we are to do in Colossians 3:1. We're going to be trying to cover the first couple of verses here. Let me read them. Colossians 3:1, Paul says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Verse 2, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Wow, now we've got a lot in here, Bob. And I know that you had a transition point that you wanted to mention, because we really are kind of in a transition point now in Colossians as we come out of Paul's refutation of the heresy into now what we as believers ought to be doing.
At the end of his epistles, not always, but usually there's admonition.
Yeah.
Here's how the Christian is to live.
Right.
And this is what God has called us to.
Right.
And just to show that, in verse 1, there's two imperatives.
Right.
And the Greek word translated seek, is in the imperative.
Right.
And the one for think, or set your mind.
Right.
For thinking. Phroneo, it's also imperative.
Right.
So Paul is giving strong instruction, or even a command, what to seek and how to think.
Right.
And so we have in the Bible what we need.
Amen.
Okay? Because we need to remember, as we're in Colossians, chapter 1 was all about the sufficiency of Christ.
Right.
Okay? And the fact that we are transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son.
Yes.
Okay? So we are in Christ.
Amen.
It said in Colossians 2 and verse 9, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form."
Right.
Colossians 2, 9. So there's the incarnation.
Yeah.
Now the Bible everywhere says in the New Testament that Christ bodily ascended to heaven.
Yes.
And that he sits at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
Okay. So here when it says, "Therefore you have been raised with Christ, seek things above." So there's a reality to this.
Yeah, right.
And as you said, the conditional is saying, if as is the case.
Right, exactly.
Or you could say since, and that would be a correct translation.
Right, right.
So since you've been raised together with Christ, then that's a basis for our belief.
Right, what we ought to do. Amen.
Our action.
That's right.
Our motivations and what's important to us. This is in contrast to what we talked about last time and the time before that at the end of chapter 2 about this self-imposed piety.
Right. Amen. You know, Bob, now when Paul says in Colossians 3:1 at the beginning, using this first-class conditional, if, as is the case, you have been raised with Christ, many people, probably from language used from years ago, I know a lot of systematic theologians used to call this the mystical union with Christ. But what we want to do is talk a little bit about how is it that we can be considered raised with Christ, because obviously we haven't experienced our resurrection. If we had, we wouldn't be here on the earth talking about this very thing here. So what we believe is that what Paul's clearly talking about is positionally, every believer, the moment they've trusted upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God regards them as not only dead with the Son, but also raised with him. And one of the analogies that I've used in the past, and I don't know if you can tell me if it's a bad one, but I like the analogy of when you go to a restaurant and you make a reservation, that reservation secures your position there, even though you're physically not there. And in a sense, because God is omnipotent and omniscient, he can certainly secure our reservation. And so this is as good as gold. We're there positionally, yeah. We're not actually physically there. And that's really Paul's point. We're positionally there, therefore we ought to live differently. And as you mentioned, think differently and have a different will than we used to.
Yes, and we should also keep in mind the context.
Yeah.
And everything we've already learned in Colossians,
right,
up to this point. Well, here, I think we have to think of Colossians 2:12.
Right.
Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him,
yes,
through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead.
Amen.
So that has already been told us,
right,
Colossians 2:12. Now, if, as is the case in which we know it is,
yeah,
because of Colossians 2:12,
right,
baptism is a symbol of that.
Amen.
That we're raised in newness of life.
Yeah.
Christ was raised from the dead bodily.
Right, right.
And he ascended into heaven bodily.
Right.
Right? Colossians 2:9.
Exactly.
He is incarnate. He, the second person of the Trinity,
yeah,
in him, all of the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form.
Right, right.
And so, as Christians, we don't need these bad teachings from bad sources,
right,
and man-made religion,
yeah,
and traditions of men and piety that sounds good to us.
Right.
But we need to look to Christ, who's raised.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And believe what God says.
That's right.
So, one of the things I have said a lot lately,
yeah,
because in my writings for Critical Issues Commentary, I've taken away, someone would say, a lot of things they thought were going to help them.
Right.
And as we've said before, I've written article after article refuting false teachings,
yeah,
telling us we need to process the past.
Right, right.
Okay? We need to go back and do all these things.
Right, yeah.
And deal with it. But the Bible says that we've crossed over from death to life.
Right, right.
That we've been transferred, that we have new status.
Yeah,
amen. And so our thinking has to be renewed so we think according to what's really true.
Yes, very good.
Okay,
yes.
It's so that's what Paul's saying.
Right.
If, okay, now if you believe Colossians 2:12, you were raised with him and he was raised bodily,
right,
sent into heaven, and you're seated with him.
Right.
According to Ephesians, then we need to think differently.
Right, right.
We've died with Christ. The stoichia don't rule over us.
Right.
We're not cursed. We're not in the world. We're not under all these man-made decrees.
Right.
We're in Christ.
Right, amen. Well said. You know, Bob, one analogy I thought of, and you point out often, and I'm glad you do, that Christianity isn't a faith in which we're to process the past or to look inward or look backward to ourselves or our past problems, but instead we're to look forward to the promises of God. And you alluded to the fact that these promises that we have are true now. It's not that,
yeah,
we will have eternal life. We do have it.
Yeah.
And one way of thinking about it is we've been inaugurated. That is the moment of our salvation through faith in Christ. It one day will be consummated. And I often think of the analogy of the Israelites. When they left Egypt, it was true that they had a reservation in the promised land. And the real battle for them is in their walk in the wilderness, are they going to really focus their minds back on Egypt? That's what happens now with these false teachers who say the real key to your sanctification is to look back to your problems. Well, that would be like the Israelites in the wilderness looking back to Egypt.
Very good.
And you know what they were to do instead is to believe God's,
yeah,
promises.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they're to go to the promised land.
What did Moses have to keep telling them?
Yeah, exactly.
Who God is, what he said.
That's right.
What's his promise.
Amen.
Okay. And they complained. They were tired of his provision.
Yeah.
Okay. What is all this manna?
Right.
The problems are too great. If we go forward,
right,
we're not going to get it. at least when we were slaves in Egypt.
Yeah.
Pharaoh took care of us.
Right, exactly.
Somehow they forgot that it was them who cried out.
Yeah, a little missing point in
there. Yeah, we cried out in our horrible conditions.
Right.
And God answered and sent Moses.
Yeah.
And kept his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah. And you know, Bob, I like the fact that you mentioned baptism earlier. That's really what baptism symbolizes. For the believer, it really does symbolize that there's no going back to Egypt. There's no going back to the old way of life. There's no going back to our old problems. They really are under the blood of the Lamb.
I know. And the terminology, no processing the past.
Yeah.
I thought of that. I don't know if anybody else has ever used it, but it's a term I came up with.
Yeah.
Trying to make it clear to people what's wrong with all these inner healing theories,
right.
Theophostic, curse breaking, demon casting out,
right?
You know, finding out if we might be cursed because of this or that, or
right?
What's going on in the realm of the spirits,
yeah,
which is unseen to us,
yeah.
And I came up with that term, processing the past.
I love it. Very clear.
Why would you do that?
Yeah,
that's like if they are having problems, like you said, in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back and see what was going on with Pharaoh. Maybe he did something to us.
Yeah, how absurd, isn't it?
You're out.
Right, right.
You're baptized. You were baptized, as it says in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Like they were. Remember, they went through in
exactly.
Corinthians.
That's right, 1 Corinthians 10. Paul makes that point.
Yeah, and the sea closed behind them.
Right.
You're not going back.
Right.
Do you think God's going to open it for you so you can go back?
Right. Yeah, amen.
But see, people start having a failure of faith.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And they still have problems, which we do. There's an already not yet.
That's right.
Already we're seated with Christ, but we're still in a sinful world.
Yeah.
We still are tempted.
Yeah.
We still have failures.
Mm.
Okay? And we need the blood atonement all the time.
Right, absolutely. Okay?
The blood continually cleanses us.
Yeah.
And somebody will come along. And I really think that all of this came from psychology in the 20th century.
Yeah, that's right.
When they wanted to integrate psychology with the church.
Right, right.
Well, it was psychological theory that convinced people they need the past to be processed.
Yep.
Because that all of their theories are based on that.
Right, right.
This happened, that happened. I get emails from people wanting me to help them, and they start telling the story of all the bad things that happened
right.
in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I try to find out is, have they left that, like we're talking about here,
yeah.
and been raised with Christ?
Right.
And here's the kicker. Almost everybody thinks, yeah, that, yeah, right. Well, I accepted Christ when I was 12. Now let's talk about the curse or the demon
right.
or the harmful memory or how wicked my parents
yeah,
were.
Right.
Or
let's process the past.
What I went through. And after years of this, I've been writing about it since 1992.
Yeah.
It's how long we've been publishing Critical Issues Commentary.
Right.
And I've been getting feedback that whole time. Back then, they had to write me an actual letter before the internet.
The good old days, yeah.
But I've become convinced that the idea that they actually are raised with Christ
right.
and have died to the world and are converted yeah. and have gone from death to life,
amen.
From the dominion of Satan to God,
yeah.
from darkness to light. I'm writing an article right now about this. They just assume that's true because they grew up in a church or they said a little prayer.
Right.
Now they want to go on to what's really interesting.
Right.
And so the present, in their way of looking at it, is not defined by being new in Christ.
Right. Right.
And they've been told by the false teachers that if somebody like me tells them that, no, we're new in Christ, let's think that way,
right.
now it's a cop-out
yeah.
because we don't want to deal with the real problems.
Exactly. That's
the real problems are defined by clinical psychology
right.
or the occultic type, the demons, the curses, the what the shamans do.
Right, right.
And what I'm saying is a cop-out.
Yeah.
So it says here, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So are you going to tell Paul that he's teaching the Colossians a cop-out?
Yeah, well said.
That the real Christians are going to man up and go back and find out the demons from the past.
Bob, well said. You know, the saying that comes to my mind as you mentioned that is the old saying that we've often heard. Anybody who's interested in the future promises of God and what he has in store for us, we're often said, or it's told to us, that we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. But what's interesting is what you're really suggesting and what the scripture is suggesting is that those people who are so earthly minded, they're really no heavenly good. That is, they're not fit for it. And that's the point.
Well, how does the Bible tell us to live now?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, I do not believe that if we obey what's said here in Colossians 3:1, that we're going to be no earthly good.
Exactly.
It's just not true.
That's right. In fact, we'll see ethical demands in light of this.
Well, God changes us.
Amen.
And the New Testament is full of teaching about how Christians live as fathers and mothers and husbands and wife and parents and children and fellow Christians in the church.
Yeah.
How we respond to secular authorities, Romans 13.
Wow.
Okay. What kind of workers we are.
Right, right.
Are we diligent?
Yeah.
Do we show that Christ really has changed us in real practical life? There's nothing impractical about this.
Right, right.
It's very practical. But if you're not willing to set your mind on things above.
That's right.
Then you can't turn around and say, well, you're just heavenly minded. You're no earthly good.
Right.
So to be earthly good, do I have to go study psychology?
Right. Great point. Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Right.
And I don't believe that it really helps.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay. Now, what we must do is believe the promises of God. And I'm going to add to that something.
Yeah.
I may have mentioned this before on the radio here, but another thing we have to believe is the principles of God.
Yeah.
The promises and the principles.
Yeah. Amen.
I was thinking of one that's helped me.
Yeah.
As a Christian, it's very easy to get angry.
Sure.
I'm less that way than I used to be. I don't know if that's because I'm sanctified or I'm just more old and wore out. But I guess you can be angry when you're old too.
Sure.
But I think what really makes the difference is what God says about reality.
Yeah.
Okay, let me give you an example. Here's a principle that helped me years ago.
Yeah.
Because I'd get so angry about what's going on. Hmm. The wrath of man does not bring about the righteousness of God.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I was reading that. In fact, I was teaching through James. Man, I got to remember this one.
Yeah. Wow.
No, it's not really a promise.
Right.
Although you could see an implied promise that if we trust God, we don't have to live according to the wrath of man.
Right, I see what you're saying.
But the principle is the wrath of man does not bring about the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
And if I really want the righteousness of God, me being angry about everything around and just going through life angry isn't going to make righteousness for me or anybody else.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
But God has promises. So the principle gets our mind thinking correctly.
Right.
And the promise tells us that God will sanctify his people.
Right. You know, Bob, as he talks about seeking the things that are above, we also want to point out, I think, that this isn't a metaphysical statement. I don't think that Paul was thinking that somehow heaven is above the North Pole, or if you go high enough into the celestial
good
heavens
point.
That you're going to eventually reach the kingdom. But instead, as this is O'Brien, I guess, he put it this way. He says, these are spatial categories, but really used in a qualitative manner.
Yep.
And the point is that there really is a location for heaven. God really does exist. But Paul isn't intending here to give us metaphysics, but instead to talk about the qualitative state in the sense that we're to focus on as Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to us. So in a sense, we really are to focus on the promises that we have and what Christ has done for us, our future hope that we're going to be in glory with him. But there's also these ethical demands that are inherent to those who belong to this kingdom. And we'll find these when we get, as you mentioned, in Colossians 3:5, where we're to stay away from sexual immorality, impurity, passion.
Yeah, we have ethical guidance.
Exactly.
But we have more than that.
Exactly.
We have ethical guidance and the power of God at work in our lives.
Amen.
So that we're different people.
Right, and that's why when we really look at this idea of seeking the things above, I think first and foremost, the seeking of that which is above implies that these promises have been secured to us because of what Paul has laid out that Christ has done for us, for example, in Colossians 2:11 through 15 that you were mentioning earlier, that we were baptized with him, that he had nailed the accusations against us from the law, nailed to the cross, all
we're
of those
forgiven.
Things. Yeah, amen.
Even
we're
back in Colossians
forgiven.
1,
right.
13 and 14.
Exactly, delivered. Right.
Forgiven, transferred,
amen.
Redeemed.
One domain to the other.
Yeah, so we have different status.
Right,
okay?
Right.
So we're not in danger of being heavenly minded. We are in danger of being mystical in a wrong sense, but we've been warning about that.
Right.
At the end of Colossians 2.
Right, amen.
The mystics that went off into the wilderness, their problem wasn't that they were too heavenly minded.
Right.
Their problem is they wouldn't believe what God said in the Bible that they should do.
Amen.
Okay?
Well said.
So God commands us to gather with one another.
Right.
And I think, well, that's not going to do me any good. I can't stand these Christians. I'm going to go sit out in the wilderness and go into some altered state of consciousness.
Right.
That's not being heavenly minded. That's being deluded.
Right. Yeah, very good point.
The issue is Christ is in heaven.
Yes.
But we have his word.
Amen.
Christ is in heaven, but we have access to the throne of grace.
Right.
Hebrews 4:16.
Amen.
Okay. Christ is in heaven, so we have reason to believe his promises because he predicted that he would be crucified and raised on the third day, and he was.
Yeah.
And he did bodily ascend into heaven before witnesses.
That's right. That's
and he promised to his apostles and to us through them that he's coming again.
Right.
So this heavenly mindedness is believing the promises of God.
Amen.
Christ is raised. I will be raised literally.
Right.
And be done with all this fleshly garbage.
Right.
That we have to fight here on the earth.
Right.
And I'll be like him.
Right.
And so, dear listeners, this is what God has given us.
Amen.
You will never be harmed by believing the promises of God.
Right.
Now, make sure you understand what they are.
Right, right. That's
because false
point.
Teachers are telling us God promised us we'd get rich.
Right.
But he didn't promise that. So how do you believe something he never promised?
Right. You know, Bob, you and I have often talked about this idea of believing the promises of God. And the reason it's so essential for our sanctification and our Christian walk is if we stop trusting that the best is yet to come, we will act on what we perceive to be in our best self-interest. We'll start living for here and now.
Oh, I know.
For example, let's take the idea of paying taxes. Sometimes paying taxes can be it's really steep in some places, you know. And if a person really believes in the promises of God, they can say, you know what, my life isn't all here. I have a better future that's coming. I'm going to pay my taxes
The Lord told us to pay our taxes.
Exactly. But if someone starts to say, you know what, I think this is all there is, you can see how the temptation to keep a little bit more for yourself.
Or cheat out of taxes. Or
right. What happens?
Join some crazy group that says,
exactly.
You know, I don't have to pay my taxes. I'm, you know, I know better than everybody else. And
exactly. And whatever the temptation is, it's so much easier to succumb to it if you think that this is all there is.
I know. And when we mention this, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God,
yeah,
keep seeking is imperative, as I said earlier.
That's right.
That's an allusion to Psalm 110:1.
Right.
It says here, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.
Yes.
Now, Psalm 110:1 and Psalm 110 in general, there are 33 quotations or allusions to this in the New Testament.
Isn't that amazing? Okay. The most prolifically quoted Old Testament passage.
Psalm 110. You need to know that.
Right.
And so the right hand, what did that signify?
Yeah, power, authority.
Yeah, the place of all authority.
Right.
Plus the place of being exalted.
Yes.
Honored. And glorified.
Right.
And honored.
Amen.
Until would be referencing the return of Christ.
Right.
Where he defeats his enemies.
Yeah, exactly.
So the imperatives, keep seeking, are grounded in what God has done for us.
Right, right.
He's raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
And we remember what God did for us.
Yes.
And we believe the promises. So if God raised Christ, according to the scriptures, and he ascended bodily, according to the scriptures, and he sits at the right hand of God, according to the scriptures, the promise is he will come again.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and what he said to us is true.
Amen.
What God has done shows that he has kept past promises made through Moses and the prophets, and he will keep future ones made through Christ and his apostles.
Amen. Well said, Bob. And you know, it's interesting. We have to believe that we've been seated already, as it says in Ephesians 1, or that we've been raised with Christ. And the interesting thing is, if we are positionally with Christ who's seated at the right hand of God, that means in a derivative sense, we are also going to be exalted and honored, not because of who we are, but because of who we're with.
And it also means we're safe.
Amen. That's exactly right.
So I was mentioning all these people that contact me.
Yeah.
And I keep telling them these things we're talking about.
Right.
And that they're safe. I've concluded there's an awful lot of people who think they're Christians, but they're not.
Right.
There's a lot of false assurance. Mm. Maybe you're listening to us now. How do you know?
Yeah.
Well, do you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Do you believe the person of Christ, his preexistence, his incarnation,
yes,
his virgin birth, his sinless life, his substitutionary death on the cross where he shed his blood once for all?
Amen.
To remove sins.
Yeah.
His bodily resurrection, his bodily ascension. And do you believe that if you put your faith in him,
right,
he forgives your sins.
Amen.
He announced to people, we were talking about this in Sunday school, in Luke,
yes,
your sins are forgiven.
Oh, what a joy.
Who has the authority on earth to forgive sins? The Son of Man.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Dear listener, if you're not sure, today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent.
Amen.
Believe the gospel.
Wow. Well, Bob, what a very fitting way to end this segment of our message. We will be returning to this verse in verse 2 next time.
Yes.
Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind all of you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, I look forward to getting back into these verses next week, and we'll start in verse 2.
Amen.
We want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, to please stand firm in the Spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.